you're a Panthers fan right now, and hell, even if you're just kind of watching them and you're a sports fan, that is one impressive show, what is going on. Seriously, it is to be this late in the playoffs, played almost a perfect first period last night, as close as you can. They score three goals right off the bat. Didn't give up very much, just a couple of shots on goal in the first one. It was an ass-whooping, and it just continued as we say a good morning. That's All Day Dan Day. You just heard on the update. Hollywood will be back on Monday. He's taking care of some business. Omar Kelly's with us this morning. Finding out a little head cold, but showing me lots of respect with that mask on as I'm getting ready to.
It's a leftover from the COVID era.
That's all right. Hey, man, you know what? Nobody wants to get that that funk. And also, we got a lot of stuff to get to here. Wow. I just kind of – it was 3-0 if you turned the game off after the first period and a little later start last night. It didn't really matter because the Panthers just absolutely dominated. Hey, and I know we sit on the radio and our guys come on from the Panthers and go, no, it's just one game. And I go, yeah, but when you kick somebody around and those demons, no matter how good you are.
Demoralizing.
It's demoralizing, and it just doesn't go away when you jump on somebody. So how about this one? There's some unbelievable numbers out there. It is Carolina's 14th straight Eastern Conference loss, 14th. We've been part of six of them now because we swept them a couple years ago, and then last night they get another one, 5-0, another shutout for Big Bob, 17 saves, his third shutout of these playoffs. And last night was about the Stars. We've been talking about it's been about everybody. Well, last night it was Forsling and Tkachuk and Bennett with a couple, Barkov for Hagee, 3 assists. And, of course, Big Bob is always a big story on what he's doing. The only bad news last night, Sam Reinhart got hurt, took a low shot. I don't know if it was dirty or not. I'm at a point now in hockey I don't know what is and isn't. But Aho last night, Sebastian Aho ends up getting a shot on him. And so we hope there's some good news as he'll be evaluated by the doctors. I'm guessing they got a pretty good idea right now. But we'll find out more about that today. But just an absolute aggressive forechecking, beautiful, creating tons of turnovers, just dominated. Everything Carolina wanted to do to us, we're doing to them with a much more talented, physical, faster team that they have. So it's just incredible. The negative demons are definitely in their head as they come down here for games 3 and 4. But we'll get into all that stuff. But good win last night. Panthers coming back home up 2-0. And by the way, that league doesn't mess around, man. They are playing every other day. I thought maybe give them an extra day for travel. Is that what I saw all day? They're back at it tomorrow night? Jeez.
That is correct. 8 o'clock. Every game's at 8.
How about that? Wish you could play them a little earlier if you're doing morning radio, but that's okay.
Hey, Joe, it's not a long flight from Carolina. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. You're right. It's just... That's a physical little game, and
yes,
the forechecking, they were getting after. But God, they play so well. They set each other up. You just can't say enough. Now it's a Tkachuk Bennett Verhaeghe line was just unbelievable. Not only scoring but forcing turnovers. They were just they were doing it all last night. So. We got a lot of Dolphin stuff, and Omar's with us, and been out there talking, and I saw you had an article basically about Mike and Mike's some of the stuff and talking to some of the assistant coaches about things. By the way, one of my favorite coaches, and they got a good bunch for the guys that talk. Some guy, you know, everybody's got different personalities. It's like players, man.
Yeah, man.
You kind of, and Omar, I'm sure you learned this, and I've learned it on the road. If guys want to talk, man, I'm open to talking to any of these coaches, and some of them are great. And then you got guys. I don't want to say names. There's no reason to say names because they're not. They're just some guys are just want to do their job, be left alone.
Some of them are scared of their own shadow.
Well,
and I understand it.
I know, I get it too, man. And so everybody's different. And
you covered the Jimmy Johnson era,
yeah,
where you know Jimmy used the media for motivation and he would say things to the media to get his players' attention. So
I agree.
You had to, I remember that because I was an intern. The players had to read the paper every day to figure out what Jimmy was, you know, what buttons Jimmy was trying to push.
Or watch the 6 o'clock news. But yes. You're right. Yeah, we did go. I'm not getting anything. But yeah, you're right. No, Jimmy.
Yeah.
After a game, you're like, okay, I didn't see what Jimmy said today because Jimmy didn't beat around the bush, especially to get the message out. You're right, through the media.
And, you know, players don't have to wait very often now.
Well, they're all tied into what you guys do.
Yeah. But the worst thing you could do is, you know, wake up one morning and your coach is calling you out. If you're Sam, you know, yeah. Cam Smith or,
right.
You know, and I think what I noticed the most about earlier this week when we talked to the coaches is they pretty much sealed the deal that, hey, Jalen ain't coming back.
Yeah, I got that. I got that from your article. Yeah. Like, hey, we're kind of moving on, and hey, we're excited about this guy and this guy and this guy. And, what a great opportunity.
And we love Jalen.
Yeah.
And Jalen's a great guy. But
it's time to roll.
We got to make it work with what we got.
Yeah. No, it's funny you said that. I was going to ask you about that. And it is interesting because we have a lot of coaches, right? We have a lot of coaches. I want to say 25 or 6 coaches on the staff. And by the way, that's a going rate around the league for most. Not everybody, but a lot of them. I think Cincinnati, I'm guessing, if I was to guess, probably doesn't have that amount of coaches.
Probably not. But Cincinnati doesn't even have a scouting department. So
right. They're running things a little different. Although I do give them credit. They have they've hit on some high draft picks.
Yeah.
Hey, so the thing
not hard to miss on a Chase, Jamar Chase or Joe Burrow.
No. You're right. Yeah.
Not to say
good
I
point.
Mean, we did miss.
Good
we did
point.
Miss on them.
Good point. If there were 2 slam dunks, it's funny you said that. Yeah.
And I'm
guessing you're saying I'm thinking the same thing, and I don't do that. That's a big O special that I could do better. But I would never, outside of that, when those two were coming out, I think I would say, hey, even I would have drafted those
guys
if the
they Dolphins
were there.
Didn't because they were in position for Jamar Chase and
they
then
were.
Got themselves out of position for Jamar Chase. When everybody in the world should have known he would be the top receiver in the league in about 3 to 4 years. But, hey, enjoy Jalen Waddle.
Yeah. No. And you're right. He's either 1 or 2 as far as receivers go right now in this league, whether you like Jefferson better or
Correct.
Chase better. I think we all agree on that. So it's interesting with the coaches. And you can't take it personally. It's some guys, first of all, there's so much pressure on everybody to win games and our guys to play well. So I get it. And you got different kind of players now. It's a different world.
It is totally a different type.
I got to tell you, I think the toughest job of the whole group, by far, not even close, is to be a receiver coach.
Nah, I'm going to go with Butch Barry.
Okay,
the
that's fair.
Line.
That's fair.
Man,
that's a good one.
Like, come on, you can't you, and to have such a successful season in 2023, and then to be the anchor that holds the team down in 2024.
Butch does a great job. He did a great job with what he had last year. He's down to 8 or 9. I don't have a problem with what he did. You got to have some talent to work with, my friend.
You do, but you got to turn to Chris Greer and say, "Help me, help me."
We do it every day.
And if you don't, then that's on you. But
Butch, it's not Butch. Was Butch going to say, Chris, you got to get me? Like I don't want to lose my job. Like standing on the jumping up and down. But you got to get me more. Now I'm going to tell you why I think. And by the way, your point's well taken as far as that job because you are dealing with 5 guys, so it's the largest group. Good point. But the drama that comes with that wide receiver room, it's not just on the field. It's like, are you practicing today? How we doing? Hey, and when you're lead dog and then the other guys and then you got another guy that they're telling you, we got to get more out of Ezekama, that's on you. And I'm just thinking he's got talent and we've seen it. He has teased us with talent in preseason games.
Ezekama?
Yeah.
Nobody's thinking about him.
I know he's still on the roster. And they're still saying, Omar, I'm telling you firsthand, they are still saying,
no, they
we got to get more out of him. We got to get him healthy. We're not giving. If you're on that roster, they didn't give up on you yet. That's just a fact. When Don Shula, when he stopped talking to you, you go, ooh, ooh. I'm about, when he stopped yelling at you and coaching you hard, then, or his guys, then
you knew it was time. You're done. It's funny you say that because I haven't even thought about it as a comma. Like, I don't care.
I know. No, no.
Year
four.
Year four. It's amazing. You've done
year
nothing.
Year four.
You were on the practice squad
last year. 3 years on his pension.
They could have used you.
Yeah.
They could have used you last season. You know, you didn't help.
That's when you know when guys are going down and everything is passing you by and you're going with other guys. That's just, if that doesn't motivate you or get you to go into coach and go, I'm a different guy, I got the message, let me play, let's go, then nothing will.
That's a good list right there. The I need to meet expectations to survive list, the Channing Tindalls, the Cam Smiths, the Ezra Ikuzakama, man.
They're hoping.
Dolphins had a bad string of draft picks.
You know what they're hoping, though, Omar? I'm telling you, they are hoping, and Coach is the most positive dudes in the world. They're hoping that it kicks in and that light, that one day that light goes on.
Mm.
Late bloomers, man. They're hoping they got late bloomers.
How many of those have you seen?
I saw a guy at right tackle.
Who, Austin
Late bloomer.
Jackson?
Finally found that right tackle position and became a much better player because it didn't work at the other two positions.
Hold on, wait.
It didn't work.
He wasn't that bad at left guard. He was bad at left tackle. He wasn't that bad at left guard. But I hear what you're saying. I remember Paul Soliai. Paul Soliai is probably my biggest turnaround guy.
He went early in his career, he was a bust. Little lazy, and then all of a sudden something
franchise
kicked in.
Player.
Yeah. By the way, I ran into his family. The whole family one day couldn't have been nicer at the old Vista View.
Okay.
When in doubt, go to Vista View when the old guys and young guys are working out the future of the future of sports.
I keep telling you, you can find a cornerback over there.
No, don't get everybody fired up on
I'm
that damn
you,
cornerback
they,
thing.
They need to be looking at that Vista View Hill. Go scout it, find a cornerback.
Hey, so I got to share something with everybody today. Because it's Memorial Day weekend. We wish everybody a happy Memorial. Hopefully everybody gets an extra day off and can relax and get healthy and spend time with your family. So every so often, I get a surprise from a guy that I grew up with. And he hasn't actually been back. Last time I went home to see my dad, I did not talk to him. I didn't even let him know I was there. Matter of fact, he called me after. He said, oh, you were in town. I go, no, I didn't call you because you're going to ask me for money. And he laughs. I go, no, because you've asked me for money every time I come home. And by the way, I told my dad, now that my mother's passed, he goes, oh, don't worry. I ain't doing that. That was your mom thing, giving him money. I said, he's a grown-ass man. He's 66 years old.
Hold on.
You could
use him to check on your dad now.
No, he does go over there. No, he does. Listen.
Okay.
So the guy, he's got this thing. I'm not picking his flights up. So he pops up. The phone rings yesterday afternoon. So I pick it up. Hey, man, because I'm thinking what you're thinking. You know, he might be with my dad or something. Say, hey, what's up? He goes, oh, man, I'm in town. Oh, what?
Ew.
He goes, yeah. He goes, got a new girlfriend. She really wanted to come. He goes, hey, don't worry. I know what you're thinking. He goes, she already picked up the rooms. Mm. She's got a good job. And
I like that kind of woman.
No, but this thing just.
Your buddy likes living the soft life.
So he is Loserville, but he's been my Loserville for my whole life. I've grown up with him. He was the last guy picked in every sport. But he was always there. He would go out. But he's been part of that town and one of our guys. If you've ever had that guy, and if you've got a wife right now that can't stand that one friend of yours, I say friend. I don't have much to do with him anymore. So anyway, he goes, can you come over? At least come over because I'm going to be busy this weekend. He goes, if you're leaving, can you come over and just say hello? So I jumped in the car. And I went over there before the Panther game last night. I was tired. Long day yesterday. So I go over there, and I meet her, and whatever. I mean, I don't want to get into anything. I don't care. He's happy, and they're staying over with Danier Hollywood down there by the beach. And I say, hey, man, we're going to be here for the weekend, and so I won't be here, and, you know, I'm sorry. And, you know, I was trying to be nice. I don't want to make him look bad in front of somebody else. That makes you look like an ass clown. So I said, hey, man, I'm not going to be here, but I just want to come over and say hello. I hope you guys have a good time. So first he asked, well, is your house going to be?
Mm.
I go, no, my house is not, no.
Not available?
Not available for you guys. You blew that a long time ago with some stupid stuff you did, so no. My wife even found out you could get to my house. She'd be very upset if she even thought you were on within a mile of my house. And we kind of laughed. I told him this. So he knows she doesn't like him. So last night, before I leave, he goes, hey, man. Walks me out. I go, yeah. He goes, well, our card's kind of maxed out on the rooms. But we got the rooms and we got... I go, what? He goes, I swear to God, it's unbelievable. The different ways he asked for money, he goes, you got any money? Just for us, just a little extra money just so we got something to eat. So I said, wait a second. Your cards are maxed out. Your card's maxed out. You don't have one. You came out on here, and she's telling you don't have any money. Why are you here? He goes, well, it's like you could give me a little bit of money. And so, no, this is where it gets weird. And please, I hope I'm not offending anybody, because this is like, if you followed this, I could not make some of this crap up. Listen to this. This guy goes, well, if you're not in a hurry, you know, she'd be willing to give it up. I go, what? He says, give it up.
Huh?
So I said, so you think I'm going to give you money, and then you're not going to feel bad that you borrowed the money because you never pay it back. You owe me so much. I never asked for it. And now you're saying your girlfriend will sleep with me before I go back home. He goes, well, I didn't. We've known each other a long time. She knows how close we are. Go, I'm not sleeping with your frig. I'm not sleeping with her. Are you kidding? She had a little bikini on. She's older and looked nasty in that bikini. Not that I would have done it anyway. So I said, this is an all-time low. And you've done some low things. You brought a girl back to my house when you did stay. And she stayed overnight when I had two little daughters. I mean, that did it. That was icing on the cake. The woman wakes up and asks for coffee when she gets out of bed in the back after you had sex with her in the back bedroom, my son's bedroom. I said, and now you're asking me, like, if I could give you a few $100, she's going to sleep with me and we'll call it even. I said, dude, this is the lowest thing you've ever done. It's a sports show on Friday morning, and the fact that you're here, I go, no, I'm not interested. I said, but you know what? I'm going to give you what I have in my wallet, and that's it. So I don't know. I had five $20 bills. I said, okay. Dude, all I have is $100. That's it. I'll get more for my coffee in the morning. That's it. And I left. And I was like.
You made sure you could survive, Joe. That's important.
You know, wow, man. Is this all you have? He's just, this is what happens when you grow up. You have anybody in your life still around that could be all day? You got anybody like that?
No, because those types of people, I get rid of them immediately, Joe. You can't let those people hang around, because the second you give an inch, they take a mile.
You know what he tells me? He goes, you've kind of changed.
Yeah, he's going to make you feel bad about it.
Tells me, you sure forgot where you grew. He hits me with this every time he goes.
50 years?
He goes, it's not Mary's old Joe anymore. I can tell that. I go, Marysville Joe, you just asked me to give you money again for the 100th time, but this time you offer me that your girl's back there ready to give it up. She thinks I'm coming back in.
They just want to have a fun time.
I didn't even tell my wife when I got home.
No.
I was like, man, this is.
Nah.
You can say it on the radio. Don't tell your wife, though.
I got to go to break here. I just had to share that because anybody that does. So they paid for the rooms, apparently, for 3 days.
Yeah. That's what.
But they're a little short on cash.
Yep. Been there.
So he goes, what do you have? So
He's got to eat.
And then he goes, but hey, she can work it off, Joe. She didn't look bad. And I go, no, she's fine for you. She's great. You want to get some? Fucking get some what? I'm not going back there. What, you want to watch? All right, man, we got to go to break here. Lord, God.
You paying attention to that trial?
No. Hey, I felt like I was on trial last night with that dumbass show. You're the first ones I told this to. I had to share it with you. I said, nobody. All day. $100, 520s, man, and couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Carolina Hurricanes control. Andre Svechnikov didn't clear. Forsling in front of shot. He scores! Gus Forsling, 1 minute, 17 seconds in. It's 1-0 Panthers. They cash in off the Carolina turnover.
That was a good night moment right off the bat. Forsling, Tkachuk, Bennett a couple of goals. Barkov. And oh, by the way, Carolina was really good against power plays. Remember that? Giving up just two throughout the playoffs. Now they've given up four power play goals in two games. The Panthers looking just sharp. Tkachuk, after the game, said it's one of the best first periods he can remember of them doing everything right. And by the way, Big Bob will get a great save, had a great save last night, and they take it right back down the other end and score a goal and make it 3-0. It was just, they just get after you, man. It's fun to watch. And last night, you know, we've been talking about it's kind of been everybody. Last night was, listen, obviously they played great as a group, but Forsling and Tkachuk, Bennett, Barkov, Verhaeghe, Big Bob, you're talking about Sam Reinhart, who got hurt, and hopefully we're going to get good news on him today, because we sure like to have him, if not for the rest of this series, at least ready for the next round. Once you take care of business for these next two games, Saturday and Monday at Amaranth Bank. We like to call it Jerry's house, because since Amaranth Bank put their name on that building, I don't know if anybody's ever put their name on a building and right off the bat, they go Stanley Cup, on their way to a third Stanley Cup. You can't make that up. All right, we got a lot of that, and so the coaches have talked, and Omar Kelly with us. John Embry, one of my favorite guys and one of the guys that talks, assistant head coach, and he coaches old school a little bit too. He's been around. He's got two sons that are NFL coaches as well.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Oh no, he's had the whole family down in the hotel and the whole thing, but so John's a really good coach too, by the way, and I'm guessing at some point we'll be a head coach here. The Julian Hill thing, you know, we're on the last year. Julian Hill would drop a ball or he'd get a holding call, and we'd have seem like when he did, it would be a 15 or 20 yard run or 9 yard run called back. People going, what he's doing, they show it again so all the fans could see him grabbing a guy once a guy's outside when you got to let go. So I had a chance to talk to John. I said, Joe, he's got ridiculous talent. He was a rookie free agent, but he has got really good talent. His game, he got a lot better in camp. I think he came back year two. He knew what he was doing. I don't think they're going to take playing time. They're going to stick with him, and he's going to be in there. So John had talked about that, and John coaches him tough. I want everybody to know John's not like, oh, don't worry about it, you know. Everybody's going to get a holding call. Like, John gets after him. Like, hey, man, what are you doing? The guy's outside. The guy's going outside you, and the runner's going that way. You got to let go. Come on, man, there's common sense. You know, I know you're not happy with where you were on the block, but you got to be smart. You got to – the official's right there. He's going to call it every time and that type of stuff. But you and I were just talking. They're not giving up on Julian Hill. Julian Hill right now is going to be on the team, and they're hoping he just cleans some things up.
He is one of the biggest projects that they have on the team, and that goes back to last year. Unseeded Durham Smythe as a basically undrafted rookie in his second season.
Durham had a rough year, man. Durham had a lot of drop balls right off the bat and never got his confidence back and then started to lose playing time.
Yeah, no, but he lost playing time because there was a confident backup there. And that to me is competent backup. He didn't exactly play as the team expected, but that's a player that I would say is on their top five list of players that they young players that they want to invest in.
I agree with that. I am with you on that one. Hey, I got to ask you another one. Devon Achane, who's one of the best players, you could argue was the MVP, or Zach Sealer, the MVP, which Zach won it, but it could have been either guy. I voted for Zach with my vote. But Devon had a really good year, just 1 yard under 1,500 total yards. And I see people writing articles about Devon Achane wants the ball more. And this just me, Omar, before give me your – like Mike wants to keep everybody at 17 games. He is not a 235-pound back. He's 5'9", 190 pounds. He's a strong guy.
Mike wants to keep everybody healthy.
He wants to keep everybody, and I'm with him. He got 203 carries and 78 receptions. He touched the ball damn near, or had the ball at him, and plays called for him almost 300 plays. And he's a really good pass receiver. You know, he can make big plays and those screens and stuff, but I don't know about you, but I want to see Madison, Wright, Gordon, whichever, they're all bigger backs. We'll probably play three guys before it's said and done. You with me? 200 carries is enough? Or you like to see him get more carries too?
I would like to see him get over 1,000 yards. I think that's a good benchmark for him, especially going into a pretty much a contract year. But I do worry about the workload. I do worry about him, the wear and tear, and him physically not being able to carry the ball effectively in December. And I know he peaked up in December last year because he had some games that really saved his statistical average. There's some games he had. I think he had like seven games with less than 3 yards per carry.
Yeah.
And you know, not all of that was his fault because the offensive line was a disaster. Once Austin Jackson went down, it was Nightmare City. And I probably should give Butch more credit because you're right. He did decent with what he had to work with, but Achane, if you get that offensive line fixed, I mean, this is a guy who early in his career set a franchise, set a NFL record for yards per carry.
Yes.
Then he was 1 yard, second season, he's 1 yard shy of 1,500 all-purpose yards. This guy's shown you in 2 years he's a real deal.
No, I don't disagree. I think what a great pick out of Texas A&M. Nobody's arguing that.
We always ignore the Chris Greer good picks.
All right. Well, listen, that was a really good pick by Chris. But we got to keep him healthy and fresh for 17 games. And part of that is management at a really position where guys struggle to stay healthy to start with. But, listen, man, he's been great. They went out and obviously got two backs in free agency, veteran free agency, and they went out and drafted a guy, two guys over 220 pounds.
Did they get two in free agency? I thought Madison was the only one.
Madison, no. I was talking about Gordon and got drafted. Wright comes back.
Yeah.
But we got two backs that are 220, 225-pound backs. We got bigger backs to go with Achane. Listen, Achane, by the way, everybody's told me he's the fast guy on the team. Everybody told me. I don't want to get into names and get anybody get all fired up here with any drama.
I don't believe that.
Well, I tell you what.
Tyreek is trying to race Olympians.
I don't care who he's trying to race. He might want to, if you want to have something fun, give Achane a little time and look back at Achane's times in 100 meters at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He's part of that exclusive 10-100 meter club. And he's a lot younger. But he's taking a little bit of a beating. Listen, they're never going to race, by the way.
No,
these guys,
never
and nobody,
race.
Nobody ever.
We've had
these arguments going on with guys, and we've had track guys come in and want to race Duper, and he laughs at them. And
Noah Lyles and Tyreek will never race.
No,
they'll talk about it. They'll hype it up. It ain't happening. But I would
put
argue
somebody
to
you, put some money up might be interesting.
No, I think I've been there where people put money up now. And even if they do put money up, people back out of that race. They'll never race because it's you don't want to know the answer to that conversation. But in terms of Achane and Tyreek, I'm sorry, my money's still on Tyreek, fastest human I've ever seen in person.
Yeah, no. His place, because we get to see him more. It is, you know, it's a fun debate. Listen, nobody really care. We care about wins right now.
Yeah.
And figuring this thing out, but we do have a couple guys.
Show me you make
a
play.
We do have a couple guys can fly. There's no question about it, and get a lot of big plays. Hey, we got to go to break here. We're running a little bit late here on a Friday. A lot of stuff. What do you think about the Bills taking Hard Knocks? What do you think? Josh Allen, it's going to be Josh Allen, that little lady of his, going to be a lot of Hard Knocks.
Listen. Whenever a team is stuck with Hard Knocks, I think to myself, like, what did you do to piss the commissioner off? Because
so don't you have a choice in that?
I don't think so. Not anymore.
Somebody said they tried to get Belichick to do it for years. He goes, don't even ask me.
And I think they changed the rules where, like, now what's left are the teams that haven't done it. And I think the smart approach was what they did with the in-season Hard Knocks, where they just went a whole
division. Yeah.
And if you haven't watched the whole Division One with the AFC North, man, you should, because that thing was good.
Was it?
Mike Tomlin was phenomenal. Made me fall in love with him even more as a coach.
They have the NFC East in season this year. It's kind of interesting to
Cowboys,
see.
Cowboys, Washington,
yeah.
Giants, as they unravel, or maybe they keep it together.
I'll tell you what, man, Giants still playing big catch-up in that division.
Champions with the Eagles. So,
be a lot of Dallas in there, too. Dallas, mm-hmm. Dallas good for business.
I love this concept of making entire divisions do it from this standpoint. It makes it easier for them to get in there with Hard Knocks. And Hard Knocks is a phenomenal program. Phenomenal program. It's just so hard for teams to you gotta tie them up.
Well, we got documentaries for everything now, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, we do.
We're covering everything.
They're coming out with a Kansas City documentary.
Woody comes up with another one every day. That somebody else, another sport's doing it. I think it really helps the sports. I think it's great. They did that quarterback thing. They did a wide receiver one.
I thought they were great.
I thought the wide receiver one was really good. Speaking of high maintenance dudes, 5-0 win. How about their last four games on the road? 6-1, 6-1, 5-2, 5-0. They've outscored Toronto and Carolina 22-4. How about that? That is just crazy. In their last four road games, how good they have been. You talk about going on the road and having fun after last night, quickly taking the crowd right out of the game, as before they knew it, they were down 3-0 after one period. Just crazy numbers. So, I don't know. They're beating us up pretty good in the pregame show last night. Omar, they have lost. Carolina Hurricanes have lost their last 14 Eastern Conference Finals games. I mean, at least they've been in them, but they haven't won one. So you're going all jacked up, going, hey, man, four games away from going to a Stanley Cup Finals, and they're getting their butts kicked. This is now their fourth. You look at going 0-14 and 0-2 in this series. So obviously have not had a lot of luck, and they were talking about that sticks with you for a lot of the guys that are on the team, that were on that team and last team, and going through it again. But all the numbers are just, they're more physical, they're more talented, and they have just taken this Carolina team right out of their game. And if you don't believe in, oh no, here we go again moments, that's what's happening to Carolina as they try to come down here. And they have no answers. And their coach after the game is like, Kachuk came out and said that is the best first period he can remember. It was unbelievable, and the stars were out last night. Forsling, Kachuk, Bennett, a couple of goals. Barkov had a power play goal at the end. Verhaeghe, 3 assists, and of course, Big Bob, 17 saves. A couple of them now, you know, you go, wow, he didn't have a lot of work. No, they didn't get a lot of shots, you're right, but boy, they had a couple pretty good shots. They can't score. They cannot score against him. So a lot of good numbers out for the team. The only bad news, Sam Reinhart did get hurt, did not come back in the game. Hopefully they get some good news on him And if can't play in this series, hopefully he'll be back for next series, and we'll see what happens.
Did they say what kind of injury it was?
Well, it was low. We can call it all day, Dan Day. We calling that a low check, or guy stayed on but got down low. I don't know.
Yeah, lower body injury is what they say. I've heard it's somewhat serious. That's
lower
all I've heard.
Lower extremity.
Well, he went down, and you hope, hate to say it's a knee, but he was hurting. Listen, those guys come back. One thing about that group, it's got to be pretty severe for those guys not to come back in a game. And he has just been so friggin' good. I mean, he had just a phenomenal regular season. Of course, scored the winning goal last year in the final game. He's just been unbelievable how good Reinhardt's been. Got the new contract, but hey, man, he's a big part of what they do and led the team in goals again this year. Hopefully, he'll be okay. But anyway, we got a lot of other news going on here with the Miami Dolphins and all the coaches. By the way, it's a pretty positive group. I mean, Mike has splashed this thing pretty good with, off to a great start. Love what he's doing.
They sell positivity over there.
And by the way, you should, right? What are you going to do, rip the guys? I mean, they get enough negativity from us.
If you're worried about us, then you're defeated already.
Yeah, that's true.
But they believe in building them up, and at this point in the offseason program, what else are you going to do? Because the offensive players aren't even lined up against the defensive players at this point in OTA program.
He seems more worried right now. I take it they want you to learn the system, obviously, so you can catch up. The young guys can, new guys can catch up to the guys that've been in this system. But he's building up chemistry. Guys getting to know each other.
Yeah, but do you buy that? Do you know how many times, and I get it, I've been here since 2007, you've done it even longer. You know how many times last year, they were like, oh, we're hanging out together, we're going to dinner, we're doing golf, we're having people
this
over
is not
for the
new.
Family.
Yes.
And, and then John Embry said it, and I respect the fact that he said it because I do agree. Having been in the locker room, I could see it. 2023, man, that was a team. They loved each other. They fought for each other. They rallied for each other. 2024, just a collection of individuals.
I heard the comment. He said it was the team was not as close. Last year's team was this team's close. Last year's team was a roster.
Yep.
So,
and it's true that for some reason, even though you had pretty much the same nucleus come back.
I have some
back,
thoughts on that.
Oh, I would love to hear them. I would.
Guy's numbers down.
Okay.
That guy sets a tone. He needs to understand.
What guy's numbers down?
Tyreek Hill's
a lot
numbers.
Of guys, a lot of guys' numbers
Tyreek Hill's numbers.
So you think Tyreek Hill's the tone setter?
I think his personality is huge. He's the best player in football going into it, and I feel like when his numbers are down and he ain't getting it and I hear him in the locker room and comments, I think it affects everything, yes. I think he sets the tone. You get him going, you get the team going. That's just my thought.
That's a lot of pressure and a lot of responsibility to put on one man.
He loves it. That guy lives for that. That guy wants to be the
Tyreek,
best player.
Tyreek just wants to have fun and enjoy himself, but he's very competitive. I can't put what happened on him because that was Tyreek has nothing to do with the defense. That they were so out of sync last year. And I don't know if it was the injuries.
By the way, that defense can't play for what they had. They can't play any better than they played.
For what they had, we're making built-in excuses.
I'm not. I'm just saying that. I'm just Anthony Weaver.
Javon Holland was supposed to be good. Jordan Poyer, he was a Pro Bowl, older Pro Bowl player.
Come on, man,
I mean, he was.
Yes, he was great. Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, but
we got to stop taking Buffalo Bill guys at the end of their careers,
or Pittsburgh Steelers, or New England Patriots. It's But you take what you could get.
I'm not saying it's all on him. Obviously, the offensive line wasn't as good. I mean, you can go and by the way, Tua. I mean, my God, I don't even start with that one. I probably should have started with that one. He doesn't want to hear about it.
Maybe because they spent so much time trying to dig themselves out of the Tua hole that it just drained them. Like, did they look like they had fun at any point last season?
Not like. listen, you're the lead in the league in scoring, and you're doing all things a year before. Yeah, they were having fun and talking about Mike and everything Mike did worked on offense, and minus beating a couple of the good teams, they were – that was a fun show to watch, and they just – as soon as a quarterback went down right off the bat, it just kind of everything, then the O-line, then, you know, then we start getting into other things, and then it started to shut the passing game was disappeared. The deep passing game disappeared.
Yep.
We went, I'll never forget the day, said, hey, our short passing game is now our running game. You have that to look correct. At it that way. And I go, okay, and so this is different, and and threw way too many screens to try to get first downs and situations. And so, hey, man, he's trying to get it back. This is a huge year for everybody. Everybody knows it. They can't worry about it, but it's a big year, man. It's even got to be a big year for Stephen Ross.
Do you like the team field trips where units go play paintball?
I don't care about any of that stuff.
No? You don't believe in team bonding? I know you guys bonded at some clubs back in your day.
We had a close team.
Yeah.
We had a very, very close team. But it's a different game. I understand. There's big turnover every year, and it's different. Look, I'm all for guys getting to know each other and stuff, but I think it goes back to you got really good players, you're winning, everything's great. You win games, everything's great. Even the guys that want to bitch can't bitch when you're winning because, hey, man, we're winning. Like, yeah, my number's a little down, but damn, this is kind of fun. Hell, we got another nationally televised game now. Oh, man, everybody's talking about us. And when you don't, you know, it's – and you find out a lot about your guys, man, when things go south. Your team, you learn a lot, man.
You learn a lot through adversity. That's the one thing I'd hear all the time from Brian Flores and Mike McDaniel, and it's true.
Yeah.
You discover who people are through adversity.
Yeah, and your numbers are down. What are you going to do? We're looking for you to, you know, make
are
plays.
Are you pouting?
Well, the pouting is, yeah. Hey, I've seen a lot of guys, probably in my teams too, if I was to be honest, we won and their numbers weren't great after the game, were a little quiet because they want to – They want to win, don't get me wrong, but they want to be a big part. They want you coming over to see them first after the game, like, hey, what a game.